It's episode 128 of Sierra Nova Podcast.
That's for later.
Yes, that is later. I also have a Nova Nation segment thing too now, so
that's pretty cool. I'm excited to see that.
It's 8 seconds too. Just like
do you have one where we tell people like it's like go check us out at Nova Nation?
Oh no, I don't have anything like that. It's just a quick thing that I found.
Ah, okay.
But yeah.
Let's see.
I didn't feel like paying for something through RenderForce. So yeah. So we have a couple things. We got the funds from Ink 2 Kickstarter, so we're gonna start.
I went like this and then blurred out the nice. That's for all you guys out there.
I started getting the temporary tattoos, which was a stretch goal. It was like a higher stretch goal, I think. Yes. But we didn't like it lowered at the end, so, but I'm still giving it away because it's actually not a lot of money.
For the tattoos?
Yeah, because we're only giving the physical stretch goals to like a certain couple tiers. And it's like 10 people. So that's like, yeah, that's not that bad. So, and it's lightweight. So it'll just be like, in the back of the sleeve.
They're like, oh my god, that added just enough weight to bump it up to the next tier. Next year, shipping.
Yeah. So we're gonna start shipping out ink stuff after we get this one part in Ink 2 finished. There's a whole.
He's like, once we get it finished. Yeah, I'm working on it. Yeah, we're working on getting. Some transcriptions done. Yeah.
Without giving things away.
Yeah.
Another thing is we've been reaching out the comic book shops.
Lots of them. Emailing all over the country. Definitely if you own a comic book shop, or if you know someone who owns a comic book shop, or if you just know a shop owner who happens to sell other things, including comics, like collectible stores, GameStop or game shops, you get some stocks. any game shops, things like that sell comics, we're reaching out because we want to get into as many stores as we can. We're looking to get the comics that we've published and are continuing to publish out there, as well as, other comics that are on our website as well. Like, we want to try to get some of our, top viewed comics into the hands of some comic book stores. And eventually we're looking to, build out publishing so that we can help other comic book creators get their comics into other stores. So definitely let us know if you got anybody in mind, send them our way. SierraNovaComics@gmail.com. Now you all have that. Don't bother us. super obvious.
Another cool thing that we are going to start doing again is updating the website. Been kind of like lackluster on doing that lately because we're busy doing seven other things. So.
Yeah, but no, one of the things that we know is that part of the site can be a bit slow to run, so we're looking to try to speed things up, doing a lot of file compression, cleaning up the servers, and basically trying to speed things up on the site. Yeah, that's definitely been something that we need to get done, but obviously, our primary goal is creating comics. So, that's part of what we've been working on as well, is getting the comics created. So now that we've just finished getting Ink 2 funded and we're working on fulfillment, basically Greg's working on fulfillment, I'll probably be fixing up the site. So that's kind of how that's going to roll.
Yeah. This time fulfilling is probably not going to be that hard because it's like only 50-ish packages that I have to send instead of like 200, which is a first. Usually there's more physical, but I think it's because we didn't technically have issue one on Kickstarter until this time. More people got like the physical, the people that got physical stuff, they got like the catch up physical tier, which is like 21 backers. So there was that, and then there's a couple other variant covers that people chose, so that's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's kind of stuff that we're working on. We're gonna have a guest, I don't know when yet. He was on our podcast last year. Yes. Brad Linder. He was drawing Batman, but he actually messaged me before we started this, and he actually wants to be on because he's doing a virtual tour of shows and stuff to talk about stuff that he wants to talk about, and he wants to tease something that we're going to be working on with him. So we're going to be sharing that too.
Nice.
Yeah. We're also looking for more comic book creators to add to our platform. So if you are a comic book creator and you are not on our platform,
what are you doing?
You could reach out to
Comixology.
not there. yeah, so reach out to us and we will get that worked out so you can be added to the platform. Been focusing on our comics lately, so it's kind of hard to focus on our stuff on top of like trying to focus on people on the website. So yeah, I only focus on so many things, and on top of all that, I'm like trying to like remodel my upstairs in my house. So that's a little
your top stairs.
The upstairs.
He's like I definitely passed English grade. with a good grade. It was better than your grade.
Center for children who can read good
and want to learn to do other good other cool stuff too.
This is the center for ants, so if you're a comic book creator, then you know, email us or something, or message us on Instagram.
I'm gonna say it again, you remembered it.
Yeah.
No. Email us searnovacomics@gmail.com. Send us a message on Instagram at searnovacomics. Find us on Facebook at searnovacomics. If you want to look up on LinkedIn, maybe you want to see our company, and then you can go to searnovacomics. And then there's Twitter at searnovacomics. I think we even have a Pinterest.
We do.
Searnovacomics.
Actually,
we have a YouTube. We have a YouTube at Searnova Comics. What other platform? Tumblr. We got Tumblr, I think. Like Searnova Comics. The only place we're not Searnova Comics is on Kickstarter, because we made that one forever ago, and we put the we didn't know it was going to be a permanent domain name and or a URL path, and so it's like the name of our first comic. But everywhere else, you can find us at Searnova Comics.
Twitch, we're on Twitch. We're not really on Twitch, but
we exist on Twitch. Like, you could follow us, and then maybe one time we'll go.
Usually, the only time we're on there is our virtual Comic Con, which is obviously happening again this year. might be changed a little depending on my job, but we'll figure that out.
Because we do it on Thanksgiving weekend. You'll probably have that Friday off. Most jobs have that Friday off.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see here. Oh, and Mittens 2. That's going to be the next Kickstarter. What?
I was just talking to myself.
Mittens 2 is going to be the next Kickstarter on Kickstarter, obviously. So we're actually looking for shows that isn't the show that we can actually be on.
Like your show.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, not my fingers there. Your show.
Me, J.R. Harris, either one of us or both of us. Alex could be on there. He's the like color assistant, flatter or whatever. And then there's Katrina could be on, but like she's an editor, so like she doesn't know everything about the story. And then there's Jason Webb, who also helped edit. But he's like the first round editor. So, yeah. Yeah. So we got all that going on. And I'm totally not stalling, waiting for Chris. So, this is episode 128 of the CNR podcast. And we're back. We got Chris again. He's been a guest a couple times on our podcast.
Like 4 or 5 now, right?
Yeah. We've talked about Star Wars and D&D and so much stuff.
Yeah, that's the way. That's the best way to say we talked about Star Wars. Yeah.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah, so... who are you and what do you do? Because some people might not know.
Christopher Michael. I am the owner, creator of Homebrewed Comics. I'm a dungeon master, and I turn my game into a comic book.
Cool.
Nice.
So we got a couple questions.
Wait, before we get to those questions too. I just realized that did you know that we went to a D&D tabletop convention?
I saw that on Facebook.
That was our first tabled convention.
That's awesome. How was it?
Yeah.
It was very cool.
There was like maybe 16 people in total that were there. This is the first one ever. And we got 9 sales, which was pretty good for
9 out of 16 people. That's pretty good.
Wow. So nobody from the convention, except for the people that organized it, bought stuff. And then just random other people. The D&D like players were like going by the table and looking at stuff. But
that's cool. I need to get to one of those conventions.
Yeah, so I did tell him about that. I'm like,
yeah, I was gonna say like
I'm like, there's literally a guy that I'm friends with that he would sell all of his comics here, like if you had him. He's like, oh really? And I'm like, yeah, so here's his info. And
awesome.
He probably will reach out. It's in Troy, New York, though, so if you want to go to Troy,
New York. I'm from Connecticut. I can go to New York and then crash at my old house in Connecticut, so that'd be cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. We actually got into – we weren't, like, part of anything, but, like, we were just sitting behind our table and we were hearing this one game, and it somehow went deep into, like – there's a character that was, like, a robot that was, like, powered by a can of beans.
Doesn't surprise me. It's D&D.
Yeah. but they were going like all out on it. And I was like, huh, that's awesome. Yeah, so we got a couple questions. What have you been up to since last year, creativity-wise?
I've been finishing the next issue of Crit, issue 6. This is the first issue I'll be coloring, so I've had to learn a lot about coloring. So everything is me from start to finish in this book. Pretty stoked about that. I'm about 5 pages colored. All the inks are done. I should have it done the next couple weeks now that I'm out of work. From December through literally Tuesday of last week, I was working my ass off because I work in the tax division. So yeah, it was a crazy, crazy few months. but now I'm back into just comic books for the next 6 months until we ramp up again. So I'll be doing this. I'm lettering the Convictor that just finished up on Kickstarter, and we've got Celestial Knight on Kickstarter now, and I'll be lettering that as well. And I believe I've got one more project that's going to come my way soon, lettering wise. And then we're finishing up Mr. Wizard and Friends, the next four pages. That'll be in this book as well. And we're starting today on our next version of Crit, which is Crit in Space. We don't have a title for it yet. We're just getting the ideas together today. So, yeah, that's where we're at. We did, on this book, we decided, in game, by the way, this is kind of cool. We decided this like a few weeks ago when we were talking about the lettering and story wise of where this one was going. So in the recording, we have a new player, Bones, who debuted in issue 4. And, this was like his third session. He had no idea what Crit meant. And in game, there were people asking him what Crit stood for. And he just said constantly running into trouble. And that's not what it meant. But I was like, do we want to keep that? And they were like, well, you know, we did want to rebrand like the in game and in the story, they kind of rebrand themselves in this issue anyway. They're like, yeah, let's just redo it. So at the end of the book, it was Covert Reconnaissance Infiltration Team, which was just like the business labeling them. Now that they're their own group, they get to come out with their own acronym, which constantly running into trouble is pretty accurate. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I think on the title pages we're gonna have like a big X over the old name, and then just have it like a pencil drawn in with the new. So that's pretty cool. We've got a lot going on there. As far as the story for Crit, we just finished playing that last month. That was the last we've been playing for 4 years. So. That was pretty awesome. I'm not gonna lie. That was probably the best game of D&D I've ever played, and I've been playing for 15 years. There was utter chaos. People teleporting between vehicles, helicopters blowing up vehicles. Then they decided to put this shield bubble around the van and like ram everything they possibly could, ran people over, ran into robots, and it was just chaos. But it was a lot of fun, and it was pretty cool to get the feedback from my players, and they all said the same thing. It was like the best game they had ever played. So I thought that was really cool to end the campaign after 4 years on a high note. And this summer I will be actually venturing into professional dungeon mastering. A friend of mine turned me on to a site where you can host your own games. And I was like, hey, cool side hustle for the summer, right? Just he makes about $2,000 a month playing D&D. So I was like,
damn.
He plays like 5 games a week. My wife was like, hey, you're getting paid for it, you know.
That's cool. Speaking of D&D, what advice would you give to creators who are interested in using Dungeons & Dragons as a storytelling tool, either in comic books or other mediums?
Get ready to edit the crap out of your campaign. That's first. So just be prepared. Like, there's a lot that goes on in our recordings that I do have to take out, because just like I use books to movies as a good example. When you're watching a movie, you know you're not going to get every piece of that book. It's almost impossible to translate 100% of that into a cohesive on-screen story. Same with a recording where you have 5-6 people that are given free storytelling privilege, and then you try to translate that into a story that someone who has no idea what's going on at your table can read and understand. So there is some translation you have to be prepared to do. So I would say find your storyline and just stick to it. And anything that doesn't fit within your storyline, understand that you're either going to do what I do, which is create little, you know, Sunday comic things with some of the pieces of the story that aren't in the comic, or be prepared just to leave it on the cutting room floor. There's that. And then, my other suggestion is don't let your comic dictate your game, and don't let your game dictate your comic. Again, find your lane for the comic and stick to it, but don't let your players feel like they're held accountable to the comic book. My guys, we, in the very beginning, they're like, oh, this is a comic, we need to do this. And I was like, no. The comic exists because of the game. The minute that you have the game try to like run with the comic story, it's going to lose that organic feel, and it's going to feel like it's just wooden and dry, and you just need to let them do their organic stuff and then just pick it apart and choose the parts that are cool. Don't let them just try to do stuff just for a comic book, because then it's not gonna be good.
Yeah. That actually kind of works with our video game thing that we're trying to have made. That we kind of like shelved that for like a year or two right now. We were trying to work off of like a video game map, and just wasn't really working because the artist that we have is like a friend of ours that we wanted forever. And he's like, yeah, I'm not gonna be able to like work off of the map because one part of like the neighborhood in the city is not built because my other friend that was making the game, he got like super stressed about making it. And I was like, well, I don't want you to kill yourself over making our video game. So don't do that. And he's like, okay. So I'm like, just take a break from it. And then like, if you still want to do it, then just let me know. But if you can't, then I'll figure it out and I'll make the game or do something like that. So we were going off of like an actual like map from the game. And I was like, we could just use Google Maps because it's basically the same streets in the same spot, same names. It's just like different buildings are there. So I was telling Hector, who is the artist for Seer Chronicles now, about that. And he's like, yeah, so like whatever I draw, like we can put that in the game when we get to the game. And I was like, exactly. It's just better instead of just working off of the video game and like, yeah, this is how it's going to go.
You never want to let one medium control the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like with books too, like you mentioned how you have to cut it for film. I'm sure it happens too during your actual games where you might be building lore and discussing that. And like, you don't really show that in the comic. That's something that's like in the background and like maybe, you know, you showcase a part of it that explains it, but you're not like monologuing about, you know, what the what this ancient history might be for this particular item or whatever it might be. So it's definitely got to be something that's narrowed down in a comic book.
Well, one thing that people ask me about is the talking cat. How does a cat talk? You know. And he doesn't. He's telepathic, so he speaks telepathically to Spectre and some of the other characters. But, you know, I drop hints that he's an ancient being. You know, I use the term Geed. That's what his race of species is, whatever. But we never really go into the story of his people or why he's around or anything until much later on when it makes sense. Because I could have done info dump the minute he was introduced, but that would have been like a page of just him explaining himself, which, you know, the character wouldn't need to anyway. So I'd rather just keep that question of like, what's his deal? You're still going to read the book. You're still going to like the fact that you have a cat that smokes and drinks and talks a lot of shit. And then when that storyline comes, it's like, oh, that's cool. Now I know the story of him. You know, you don't have to know his story to like him. We've got actually, because it's Dungeons and Dragons and you've got five different players, there's lots of backstory that we never really go into until it's time. I do it in like, I have Reach, the science-based character. His whole purpose is research. So sometimes in his panels, I'll put a panel or two of him doing research on a character, because that's something that he did even in-game. He would do these like experiments on the characters and do like research on them to figure out where their powers come from, because he was obsessed with it. So when he's off doing his own thing, I can have him on a computer going, oh, that's what this power does, or that's how this evolved. And so he's doing it, the reader learns a little bit, but we're not doing like an info dump.
Yeah, that's something we had Ed Jowett on, and that's like a really big thing that we took from him was too many of our initial comics were just info dumps on like a new character we're trying to showcase to the world. But the thing we discussed was that the old Batman and Superman, they just were that thing. You fell in love with them and then you're like, how did they get it? And now you want their origin story. It's like, start with the interesting thing. And then it actually made me think of something. It's kind of like in newspapers, like don't bury the lead, right? Like don't talk about how a bunch of stuff happened and then, you know, and more stuff happened and then more stuff happened. And then that led to this really crazy thing that happened. You start by going, this really crazy thing that happened, let me tell you how, right? Like, so it's like, you want to start, like, don't like that. That's probably like the best advice for any comic book creator that's creating a new story. Don't bury the lead. Like start with a, you know, powerful. Like, why does the cat talk? Like, if you tell them why, there's nothing for them to be inquisitive about. There's nothing for them to be curious about. Like, make them curious.
Yeah, Brad, who he's a Caliber in my book, he is big on the, you know, show don't tell or tell don't show thing. You know, we'll be working on a panel and I'll read the dialogue from the recording. And I'm like, okay, well, we said this, this, and this. And he's like, but that's pointless because you drew it. Why do we have to say what we're doing if it's already there? You know, that's the thing about comic books. You get two different mediums. You get, you know, readability, you know, so you have a reader who can read some of the stuff and you can do information there, or you can show them. And so we try to like mix it up with showing and telling and not trying to do both at the same time. unless we're doing the power call outs, because those are just fun, you know, the old anime manga style power things, which get made fun
Detroit of. Smash.
Right. Which Boulder is based off of All Might. It's Eddie Murphy if he was All Might, you know. So we have he has like Chocolate Crush or something like that. Like he has all these different moves that he does.
That's awesome.
And he'll call him out sometimes, and Caliber's the first one to be like, why do we do that? Like, is there a reason? It's like, do you really need to say it to do it?
It's actually funny for the first time, because I just caught up on the English dub of My Hero Academia, and they actually explain why they do that. And it was because it will eventually let people know that these guys are that type of powerful. So when a villain hears them shout it out, they're scared of it. Like, they're afraid of it. So it's a way to drive fear so that more villains don't appear, knowing there's this power move that can happen.
That's actually kind of cool. I just watched it with my kid, but when I watch TV, I do like three other things at the same time. So I never really, you know, I'm absorbing some of it. I didn't catch that. I'll have to rewatch it.
Yeah. It was like literally the most recent season. It was, I think what was happening was they were doing like, a work study, like the hero study, whatever it's called, where they were like going under them. And then somebody said that. And they're like, you know, you don't just name it and say it out loud because it sounds cool. And then like somebody, like one of the kids was like, oh, I thought that's why we did it. Like, but yeah, the whole idea is like, yeah, it's supposed to drive fear into the villains. You know, so it's kind of cool. Like, even if your characters don't know that, but then eventually they realize that it's still kind of like, oh, like that's why we do it. Like,
that's pretty awesome. Yeah. I need to definitely, well, we just restarted it because we watched everything and how she works as she finishes it and restarts it. So we're like on the end of season one now.
Nice.
Love that game or that show. That's one of my favorite animes. That one and Full Metal Alchemist.
I still have to watch all of Full Metal Alchemist. I watched it when I was really young. I watched chunks of it. But My Hero Academia, like I'm gonna have my kids watch that. It's such a great
show.
Like it's got so many good lessons in it. It's got so much, so many powerful stories of like, you know, like working hard and, you know, becoming your best self, even if, you know, you don't have powers, like that kind of, like, it's just such a, yeah, cool. Everything about that show is awesome.
Like even Stain, their villain. I loved him because it's like, you're not a hero. You're just there for fame. Like you're not actually trying to say that message.
Yeah. 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 They're villains. Yeah. Actually, that was one of the things in the fifth season. They have a villain arc, which is awesome. I won't say anything because it's still pretty fresh, but it's like, it's pretty cool. They just follow a villain for a while and they show you his arc.
Yeah. It gives you that perspective from the villain. Like they don't think they're that bad.
Yeah. Well, that's like why like the Joker's fascinating, or even like Rick and Morty, like Rick is a fascinating character because he's just like so indifferent about the world. Right. He's like, I already know everything. It's all stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. I love characters like that make you question everything. Now, the Joker is, you know, there's so many different versions of the Joker. I love the fact that the Joker really was just supposed to be a one-off and became so much bigger. Those are the characters I really do like, that their stayability is because the fans really like them, not because someone shoved them down your throat. Like, yeah. I'm not going to go into Star Wars, but no, it's too soon. But I love when you have a character in the book because people, you know, gravitated towards that character or liked it. Like it goes back to appreciating your readers. Like, you know, I love talking about Red Hood because that was Jason Todd, And DC did that whole "should we kill Jason Todd" thing, and everyone had to mail in their votes, remember, or call into that number. I still think it's funny that they actually calculated it wrong and they wanted him to live, and then they killed him anyway. That's why they bring him back. But you know, those kind of characters that were like, oh, that character sticks around because people like him, because there's that fan service. The Joker is probably the biggest mind of, hey, this is going to be a one-off. Oh, wait, now we've got, what, 50-plus years of the Joker and different versions of him and all the different stories you can tell with the character that just exists to create chaos.
Yeah.
But he never thinks he's wrong. You know, if you actually look at his thing, like, he thinks he's just having fun, for one. Most of the story arcs are either having fun or just trying to, like, screw with people. He has no purpose outside of that. And he doesn't think anything that he does is bad because he just doesn't care.
Yeah,